Well, welcome to Citizen Church Online. We are so excited that you have taken the time to join us today. Mandy and I are going to be sharing with you today a special message. We're going to be tag team preaching from Psalm 23. So if you have your Bibles, you can get Psalm 23 out, that famous passage. And again, we just want to say welcome to Citizen Church Online.
Hey, you know, it is Memorial Weekend. Can you believe that? Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And what is so crazy is we always usually have like these big plans with our family. And this year it just looks really different. And we found ourselves like craving vacation. I don't know about you, but we're like, oh.
How many of you guys are just craving vacation right now? You can say something in the comments, raise your hand right where you are. We're like dying on the inside.
Yes, and we've had a few trips that we had planned that were canceled. And so we always are talking like, oh, do you remember this one vacation or this one restaurant we ate at? Or like just kind of going there in our minds. And one vacation memory that we will always just cherish, mm-hmm. I guess, would be when we, like 7 years ago, our whole family went on a Disney cruise. And if you've never done that, you need to do a Disney cruise if they ever have cruises again. but really, it is so amazing. So one day we get up and it was our entire family, extended family, and we were going on an excursion. And somehow we messed up on the tickets and they were two tickets short. Yep. So Dustin and I opted out to just have a day.
Yep.
So we were like, you guys go do the excursion and we're going to explore St. Thomas. And we had the best day.
Yeah, so like what was cool about Disney cruises is you could leave your kids in childcare on the cruise ship. The rest of the family went on an excursion and we went exploring. We found this little cove. We hiked down and found this little bay, this little cove. It was a perfect day on this beach. It was quiet and just really, I don't know, just like a serene picture and really cool day.
Yes, best shrimp tacos of my life. They were so good. So we had the best day ever. And when you think about vacation, you think of that place of peace.
Yeah.
And rest. I think that's why we're all craving vacation, is because we want rest. We want peace in this crazy time. And so we're going to look today at Psalm 23, which really, it just lays out what it looks like to have peace and rest in God. And so I'm going to go ahead and read that, and you can follow along with me. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house." What an amazing, amazing psalm. And really the thesis of this psalm is, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will have all you need. If he is your shepherd, you've got all that you need.
It's such a powerful statement, because the reality is everyone wants their wants taken care of. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs things, but this scripture gives us the key. And the question is this: do you want the second half? If you want to look at that opening line again, if you want this, do you want the second half of that opening life line bad enough to get the first half right? Because that opening line says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I will never be in need." Do you want to be able to say, "I will never be in need"? Do you want that bad enough to get the first half right? The Lord is my shepherd. So really the opening question today is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? And we wanna look at those four words today, and that's how we're gonna break down our points. The Lord is my shepherd. And those four words can unlock so much in our lives.
It's so true. So I'll look at the first one, the Lord is my shepherd. And really to say the Lord is my shepherd, you have to first recognize him as Lord. Mm-hmm. Is he Lord? And what is lordship? Lordship is supreme authority. He has supreme authority in your life. There's a quote that I found this week that I've been thinking through so much. It says, "When the lordship of Jesus is a settled issue in the Christian's life, all other issues are settled." If you get that one thing right, he is Lord of your life. All other issues settled. When I was a kid, we would sing a song in church, "Jesus Be the Lord of All." And the part of the song says, if you're not Lord of everything, then you're not Lord at all. Isn't that interesting to think about, that if you can get this one thing right, if you can recognize Him as Lord in your life, then all other issues in your life are settled. It's the verse in Matthew that says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you. And you know, in order to say you are Lord, it means we have to trust and we have to surrender. That's so strong. Trust and surrender. I will surrender my thoughts, my emotions, the words that come out of my mouth. I will surrender my family, my relationships, my possessions, everything. I will surrender to God, and then I will trust. I will trust that He will do what is best for my life. Isn't that interesting? That we always are looking to other people, other things to be a shepherd in our life to meet our needs. Some of us look to substances or an alcohol addiction, something to meet our needs, but we all know that at the end of that road, there's destruction, there's pain, there's disappointment, because those things can't meet our needs. We'll look to government officials, authority in government, and say, well, maybe they'll meet our need, but really, they're just human beings. They're amazing, they're brilliant, but at the end of the day, they're humans. And so some of us even are looking to ourselves to be our own shepherds. We're saying, I want to be my shepherd. I want to be in charge. It's my way. The way I work hard. I can meet my own needs. I prepare my own table in the presence of my enemies. I can do this my way. But we have to get to a place where we say, I can't meet my own needs. Yeah. I can't do this on my own. And you may say today, I don't know if I can trust Him to be Lord. How do I know I can trust Him? Can I leave you with this, that the Bible is His resume. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is His resume. That means that there are so many stories from the beginning of time. God has been faithful, and you can look to His Word as proof and as a resume that if you will call Him Lord, you can trust that He will do what's best for your life.
That's so good, and it's so true. And when we're looking at these four words, I mean, Lord is so important. That's the very first, most important thing we have to get right. He has to be our Lord. But the second word in that line is. The Lord is my shepherd. And what is, I mean, there's so much loaded in that tiny little word is, and this is what that means, that we serve a present tense God. There's so many people growing up in the church and talking to so many Christians, and I know I've dealt with this. So many people are so consumed by what God did yesterday and so consumed by what they hope God will do tomorrow, they're overlooking what God is doing today. They're overlooking who God wants to be in their life today. Mm-hmm. God wants so much for you today, but you're not going to get from God what you need today if you're consumed by yesterday and consumed by what you want God to be tomorrow. You know, in the famous Lord's Prayer where Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray, there's this very famous line, and it says, give us today our daily bread. And sometimes we get so used to that prayer that we forget what the words actually are. Why would Jesus take the time to say daily bread? Why wouldn't He just say eternal bread or a lifelong bread? Mm-hmm. Why would He say today, this bread, daily bread, give us today? Why? Because he was referencing a story all the way back in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, where the Israelites had come out of Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and now they're wandering in a desert. They're complaining to Moses and complaining about God. They don't have food. They're really consumed with anxiety about the future. They're constantly going to Moses and saying, Moses, what does tomorrow hold? Where are we going? What is God doing? And they were also referencing the past. Well, why isn't God doing for us today what He did at the Red Sea? I mean, He sent the plagues, and they're going to Moses consumed by yesterday and tomorrow. And so God does something, and He gives them something called manna. Manna was literally bread that fell from the sky, and guess how often the bread came? Daily.
Yep.
It was their daily bread. And God was teaching something so profound. He was showing them that, hey guys, yes, it's okay to pray for tomorrow. Yes, it's okay to think about it, but don't be consumed by it. It's okay to honor the past, but don't be consumed by it, because I'm a present tense God and I want you to rely on me today. I'm giving you enough grace for today. And so he trained, God was literally training and disciplining the Israelites back then by giving them only enough bread for that day. And if they tried to save it and hoard it, it would ruin before the next day. And it was such an incredible principle that the people of God carried with them all the way through the Old Testament. And then Jesus was reminding his disciples that day. But here's what's interesting about the word manna. The literal definition and translation of manna is a question. Manna, that word manna, means the question, what is it? So every time the Israelites were watching the manna fall from the sky, and every time they called it by its name, manna, they were looking at it saying, hey, what is it fell from the sky again today? What is it doesn't really taste good today? Or maybe they were looking forward to it, but they were asking the question, why would God give them something in question form? Because questions demand an answer. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question, what is it? The answer is the supernatural grace of God that he supplies daily. They were having to answer it and saying the answer to that question is, God gives me enough for today. And I want to encourage you when we look at this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is, that word is for you today and how you can apply it is I want to encourage you from the word of God. He will supply your needs today. Mm-hmm. He's always enough today.
I love that. And the next word is, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He meets my needs. He's a personal God. You know, I'm a third generation pastor and a fourth generation Christ follower. But the most beautiful moment in my life was realizing that my relationship with God had very little to do with my parents, my grandparents, or my great-grandparents. He's my God. He hears me when I pray. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. I love that. I love that he is a personal God. So last year, Dustin and I had the opportunity to travel overseas quite a bit. Like, we don't do this a whole lot, but last year was just a year of travel.
Crazy.
I think God was getting us ready for this year with no travel. But we went to Israel with a church trip, an incredible trip. Then we got to go to a global church conference in London. Mm-hmm. And then randomly, I got invited to go to Thailand with a group of pastors' wives. And it's really interesting because when I boarded the plane in Albuquerque, I mean, Albuquerque, this is my home. Everything's so familiar. But I leave Albuquerque. I go from Albuquerque to LA, LA to Seoul, South Korea, then Seoul all the way to Bangkok. By the time I landed there, I looked and felt like I'd been hit by a truck, honestly. Like 30-some hours traveling, crazy. But when I get off the plane, it's so weird how you step off of the plane into the unfamiliar. Everything's so different. The sights, the smells, the food, the language, everything you see is so different. It's not familiar anymore. The world is big, and it lets you recognize, like, my world is small, the world is big. So they take us to the hotel. The next morning, we get up and we go to like 30 minutes outside of Bangkok to the slums of Bangkok. And there, in the middle of the worst living conditions I have ever seen with my own eyes, it was devastating. But they had a preschool there where a woman who had surrendered her life to God as a missionary and was teaching children in this preschool. And we walk into this really, really amazing ministry, this preschool, and we see these children and they are reciting the word of God. They're singing songs to God. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, our God is so big. Mm-hmm. He's so much bigger than my little familiar world here. And I think that my world is everything. But when I step out of my comfortable area and I go thousands of miles away, what a reminder that God is so big, yet he's so personal. Because a little four-year-old boy in that preschool can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." The same as I can say,
wow.
"The Lord is my shepherd." He's an infinite God, but yet a personal God. I love that so much that I can call on his name. I can talk to God. He's my shepherd. And I want to read to you Psalm 8. It says, "O Lord, our God, the majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and it overflows the heavens. You have taught the little children to praise you perfectly. May their example shame and silence your enemies. When I look up into the night skies and see the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay attention to him. Isn't it amazing that he pays attention? I love that translation. Another translation says you're mindful of him, but he pays attention to you. He pays attention to your needs, what you're going through, what you're struggling with. He is a personal God, and it's the infinite paired with the personal. This big, big God, but yet he's a personal God that will hear me when I'm laying in my bed at night and I'm praying and tears are streaming by my down my face and I'm worried about something. That's how personal of a God he is. So he's a big God, but yet he's personal. I can boldly say, and you can boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I love that.
Wow, you know what I love about scripture is in four words, I mean, you're basically able to present the entire gospel because the Lord, that matter of lordship is a matter of salvation. And then the Lord is, he's a present tense God, my, he's a personal God, right? Yeah. And then number four, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know, the first point when you're talking about Lord, that's really talking about God and who he is and his worthiness to follow. When we think about the word shepherd, the way I want to take this really quick is first of all say, a shepherd's job is to take full responsibility for the well-being of his sheep, right? Full responsibility. But this matter of him being our shepherd, it's really a matter of us deciding whether or not we want him to be our shepherd. Because in order to have a shepherd, you have to be a sheep. And so the question we need to ask under this point is, are we really willing to be a sheep? So I want to look real quickly as we close today with three important characteristics of what it looks like to be a sheep in regards to him being our shepherd. The first one is this, if you want to write it down, sheep have limitations. Mm-hmm. So the first characteristic of sheep is they have limitations, obviously, right? I think it's just kind of funny, but there's no such thing in the world as a sheep trainer. I mean, you can't train sheep, right? I mean, you don't really see sheep that are trained running around doing tricks. Why? Because sheep are dumb. I mean, it kind of sounds mean, but they just are. I mean, I don't have anything against sheep, but they're just dumb. And isn't it interesting that this is kind of the metaphor that God uses throughout scripture? Because he calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Yeah. And the implications of that are we are the sheep. So what is he saying about us? What he's saying is we have limitations and we need him to be our shepherd because we are not easily trained, disciplined, or disciple. Mm-hmm. And I'll prove this to you that we need a shepherd and we have limitations. Have you ever, I'm always fascinated with Facebook memories and it's something I check basically every morning now. And I'll click on the Facebook memories little button on my phone. And I just want to know what was I doing on this day 10 years ago, 9 years ago? What was I saying on this day? And have you ever looked at your Facebook memories and just kind of did a face palm just because it's so embarrassing what you used to think, what you used to write. Okay. I'm like, I can't believe I put that on the internet. It's humiliating. Or do you ever think about yourself 2 or 3 years ago or 6 or 7 years ago and you look back in your past and go, I can't believe I was dumb enough to date that person. I can't believe I was dumb enough to say that. Oh my gosh. And here's what's funny. We always look at ourselves in the past and go, ugh, I was so dumb. But here's what's funny about that is one day you will be in the future looking back right now on your present you thinking how dumb you were, which means all of us to an extent, no matter what place we're living in our lives, can be dumb. And I think that this kind of proves the idea of how much we need a shepherd because we always have the beauty of hindsight, but it's so important. Like I mentioned earlier, this now concept, us living in the present tense, you have to, I have to, we have to recognize our limitations. We all have this desire to control, to look at our lives and say, I want to make this, I want to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. But every time we want to control the outcomes in all the different areas of our lives, we are forfeiting the need of a shepherd, right? And we are pushing God away. The second characteristic of sheep, number two, sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are vulnerable. This is really important too, because you don't see sheep running around with fangs. You don't see sheep running around hunting sheepdogs. You don't see sheep chasing wolves away. No one is intimidated by sheep. There's a reason why in the sports world there are no sports teams, their mascot being a sheep. Why? Because sheep are not on the offensive, they are always on the defensive, right? Because they're vulnerable, they're defenseless. And so that's another characteristic. So why is God, why is Psalm 23 calling us sheep? Why is this saying that we need a shepherd? Because to an extent, we are defenseless.
Yeah.
We're defenseless in a way that we can't forgive our own sins. That's why we need a savior. And he steps in and he becomes our shepherd and our savior. We don't have that ability. We're defenseless in many ways against the enemy. But the closer I am to the shepherd, the more he can fight off the predators and the wolves that are stalking in the darkness. But we are vulnerable. And the idea of vulnerability and how it applies to us today is really this concept of us understanding and getting to the place where I can say, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Life is beyond me. Mm-hmm. It's beyond me. And that's not a weak thing to say. It's not a weakness to say, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. It's strength to say that. It's strength to say, I can't handle this. God, I need you to do it for me. The third characteristic of sheep is that sheep are dirty. And this is kind of funny too, but there's a lot of different animals out there that can clean themselves. Not our youngest kids yet, but there's a lot of animals out there that can. Cats clean themselves, birds clean themselves. There's a lot of different animals that do, but I'll guarantee you this, sheep do not. When sheep get dirty, they just stay dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And the dirt just starts accumulating and they just get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And if that's a characteristic of sheep without a shepherd, because the only way they get clean is when the shepherd steps in and washes them, then that's also what Jesus is trying to say about us. He's trying to show us something. Without the good shepherd stepping in, we just collect dirt. To collect the dirt of guilt from our past, collect the dirt of present sin, collect the dirt of worry in the future, and it just seems like the weight of the dirt just starts to accumulate and get heavier and heavier and heavier in our lives. But when we take on the characteristics of sheep, and we are able to admit it and say, I want to be a sheep that has a shepherd, then the shepherd steps in and can wash us and bathe us to where we can be pure in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
John 13, 10, Jesus is actually talking to Peter and he's washing the disciples' feet and Peter's asking questions about why are you doing this and what does it mean? And Jesus makes the point to Peter and he says, the point that I'm trying to make, Peter, is without me, you can't be clean. It's my job to wash you. It's my job to purify you. Only I can purify you from your head to your toes. Only I can wash you from the inside out. You need me to be your good shepherd. It's up to him to wash us, but it's up to us to submit ourselves as sheep. So the Lord is my shepherd. So I wanna ask you today, is he your shepherd? You know, I think one of the coolest parts about the ending of Psalm 23 is this verse in verse 6, and it says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. You know, that's right toward the end of the chapter, and I think it's a great way to cap it and end it. Because when you look at the original language on this, surely your goodness and love will follow me. That word follow is loaded with meaning. And I want you to listen carefully because this can be twisted to be a negative, but it's such a positive. That word follow literally translates into being hunted or stalked. What this is saying is God's love, other translations say his mercy, his goodness will stalk you, will hunt you. Will hunt us. And I think it's such a powerful thing because it's a powerful way of God promising us that my goodness and mercy won't lightly follow you.
Yeah.
It's not going to be around when you hunt down my mercy. My mercy is following you. My mercy is hunting you down. So when you slip, I'm there to cover you with mercy. The opening story we talked about being on that trip in St. Thomas, that peace that we felt that day and the peace so many of us are craving today, it only comes when the Lord is our good shepherd.
Yes.
And we have to have him as a shepherd.
Yes, absolutely. And so today we want to just pray over you. We want to speak peace over your life, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling worried, I want you to just understand that you can submit to the Good Shepherd and you can rest in His authority in your life. And He has good plans for you. He wants you to prosper. He loves you, and His mercy and His goodness, it's chasing you down. Yep. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your family. So we're going to pray together, and I want you just to receive that. Receive His love. Receive His mercy, His grace, and let's pray together.
God, we thank You so much for this Lord. Time we have together. This psalm, this chapter, God, that so many of us are familiar with, hopefully these last few moments bring new light to this passage, a new weight to this passage. There is so much loaded in it, so many promises You give us in Scripture. And during this time of transition that we are all in right now, God, I just pray that we would understand this, that we would just get closer and closer to You, and just embrace the love and goodness and mercy that You're wanting to offer us as Your shepherd. Many people might be watching right now, Father, that don't know You, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I think this is such a perfect opportunity. God, right now, wherever we're watching from, those of us that want to know You as Savior can open up our lives and just receive You, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, our Good Shepherd. We believe in our hearts that You were raised from the dead, and we are confessing right now, Jesus, that You're Lord. We want You to step into our lives and be the Lord of our lives. And when You are Lord, You will be our shepherd. Bless all of us today, Father. Give us peace and serenity in this transitional season we are all in, because You're the Good Shepherd following right behind us, showering us with Your goodness and mercy. We thank You, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.